Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, we know it's conference tournament week in college basketball. You know what makes this interesting is all of the conference tournaments, if you get these smaller conferences but have a really, really strong basketball team in that conference, one of those mid-majors where the team is dominating the conference, if you're a bubble team in a major conference, you're watching those carefully. Look at the SoCon, for example. The Wofford Terriers, ranked 25 in the AP poll, winning gives relief to so many other teams that are on the bubble, because there isn't going to be an automatic bid coming out of the SoCon that doesn't include Wofford. And now Wofford, by locking that up, you don't have two teams coming out of the SoCon. Well, you might down the road. Who knows about somebody else? But nevertheless, Wofford gives everybody else a chance to breathe a little bit. So if you're, again, a team from the Big Ten or the SEC or even the ACC for that matter, and you're just looking at the landscape of college basketball and you're saying, all right, I don't need any other automatic bids that have come out of nowhere. I don't need that team that has played middle of the road going on a tear in some Ivy League tournament or whatever. I don't need that. I don't need the headache. I need to make sure that I get it, you know, I get in. But you don't have a lot of that. Don't get me wrong. You don't have a lot of that, because some of these mid-major tournaments, some of these smaller conferences, the only team that's getting in is the team that wins the conference tournament. And is that fair? Well, I've been saying this for a long time. I used to think it's not fair. I used to get on a soapbox and used to scream to the high heavens that the regular season should be more valuable than the conference tournament. But the conference tournament does need a selling point, because you can't really generate the kind of interest it needs if you're just saying it's for pride, it's for conference pride. That only generates the people that are really interested in that school, and outside eyes tend to not be that interested in. But if you put a tournament berth on the line and a team makes a run and it becomes an interesting story, and that's what people tune in for. That's kind of the added bonus of these conference tournaments. They have to be sold on a higher level than just come see some really good basketball and the only thing that is going to happen out of this thing is somebody's going to get a cool conference trophy. No, somebody's going to get a cool conference trophy, and they're also going to punch their ticket into the NCAA tournament. We'll talk about that NFL free agency as well. But coming up, Russell Westbrook and what he said in Utah. That's got everybody riled up next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, don't miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year this Saturday night, Spence Jr. versus Garcia. It's this Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order now. All right, Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder were in Utah last night, and boy, Russell Westbrook went off on a fan. He says, I do not feel bad about this whatsoever. Got in a heated exchange with a fan. He told that fan he was going to F him up. And also his wife. He also went after his wife, too. Now, he said that there were some disrespectful comments that were made to him, and that's why he got all fired up. Listen, I have some sympathy for Westbrook on this. And I know people will attack Westbrook for overreacting. We don't really know what was said to him. He claims that the fan told him to get down on your knees like you're used to, and Westbrook said, no, that's racial, and that's inappropriate. If that indeed was said, I would have lost my mind, too. I have been to a lot of NBA games, and there are fans that have fun with the players. You probably know some famous hecklers in the league, and some of the players have some fun back. But there are some guys who really, really go after some players on the road. Now, that is part of the territory, and I think most players understand that. That's just part of the deal. You're going into hostile territory. You're going to hear some things, especially the way the fans are so close. They're closest than any fans in sports, maybe outside. I mean, if you're sitting on the rails of a Major League Baseball game, you might be able to hear the players, but man, there's nothing like sitting courtside or one up. You can really, really get to the player's ear. And I've heard some things. I mean, I've heard some things, not that bad, but I've heard some things where I'm like, man, I'm surprised he's not turning around or at least getting his attention. I don't know what was said. There's no video of it. I don't know what audio is said. So I'm not going to assume Westbrook is automatically telling the truth. The man said he didn't say that thing, or he said it, but he meant it in a way that was a little different, but it didn't come out like that. But the reality of it is Westbrook really went crazy. I mean, he really went nuts. And he had a good game. He had 23 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists in their victory over the Jazz. But he pointed out, he says, listen, there's got to be something done about this. He says, you know, there's got to be some consequences for people who make these kind of comments to players. And the Jazz, the stadium said, listen, we're looking into it. If you have that as a season ticket, you better be careful because you could lose those season ticket. Now, according to the fan, he claimed the exchange started off as fun. He was yelling at Westbrook. He told him to ice those knees up. He said he was replying he says, you're going to need it, et cetera, et cetera. He says his wife didn't do anything. He said his girlfriend, I think it was wife or girlfriend. Well, the woman that was next to him. He said she didn't say anything. She didn't participate in the exchange. She never got out of her seat. She never left. So Westbrook directing comments to her was inappropriate. I mean, it's back and forth. Listen, we live in a video age now. Everything gets caught on video. If it's not caught on video, then I kind of wonder why. Who knows? Maybe there's somebody that shot this and it'll pop up later. But listen, I don't exactly fault Westbrook on this. I know there's going to be people saying, listen, as a professional athlete, you can't do this to the paying customers. You can't do this to the fans. But the fans also have a little bit of a responsibility, too. If Westbrook believes what he heard, you know, that's going to agitate him. That's something that he should stick up for. It's something he should turn around and respond to, right? If he is dealing with something else, right? If he's dealing with some other outside agency and then heard something but wasn't quite sure, was just taking his frustration, that's a different story. But if he believes what this fan told him, I don't blame him for turning around and making a point after it. Because if you don't, this kind of stuff, you just keep escalating and escalating and escalating. Who knows? I always wondered with the NBA, what kind, like, you can be a great basketball player, okay? And you could be born with the ability to play basketball and put a ball through a hoop. You could be born with size, speed, athletic ability, whatever it is to play on the NBA level. But it doesn't mean that that athletic ability comes with a certain mindset. The certain mindset that you have to have to tune that kind of stuff out, to focus on the game, to not let that stuff get to you. Not everybody has it. We see a lot of thin-skinned athletes, and we always, you know, you always hear people in response to that to say, oh, they just got to man up. They just got to toughen up. That's not the easiest thing to do. It's very, very hard. You do have to work at it, and you do have to develop the mindset to it. I know people in my business, in this business, that started out as young hosts or young commentators, young television personalities, and fans would say, I can't believe that guy's on the air. I can't believe they gave that person a job. Kick him. I can't listen to him. And it would really bother them, but they knew if they didn't develop a thicker skin, they would never make it. So they worked on it. They really tried to psychologically prepare themselves for that aspect of the job. But the reality of it is having thick skin, thin skin, no skin, whatever it is, that's not necessarily a prerequisite for being an NBA superstar. You can be an NBA superstar and have any of those personality traits. We were talking about it last week when Charles Barkley kind of went, oh, what are these guys complaining about all the time? And people are now angry at him because he was pointing, you know, he's disparaging mental illness. You know, people that have depression, anxiety, and these sort of mental illnesses, that he's just kind of pushing it off to the wayside. I supported Barkley in those comments because I think too much of what NBA players do in the diva sense is being dismissed as having anxiety, having depression, when some of them are jerks. Some of them just never learned how to handle, the kind of scrutiny that comes with the territory. So they shield it out by being higher up, by being jerks to people who are making those kind of comments and that kind and feeling that kind of heat, right? Not everything is a mental illness because they're not acting in a particular way. Westbrook has been is for most of his career. Yeah, he's had some blow ups. He's had some personality exchanges. He's had some conflicts with his, you know, some players. He's had some personality traits that kind of make you wonder where he's at with his mindset. But again, if he believed what was said to him by this fan, he has every right to point this out. However way he wants to point it out, maybe you could say he could have handled it better. But if he believed what was said to him, that's, of course, you have to stand up for something like that. But you are seeing more and more stadiums. We talked about this yesterday with the James Dolan situation. I think Dolan definitely overreacted because these fans are going to do that at Madison Square Garden. But you're seeing more security going, hey, listen, watch what you say around here. We could kick you out. You don't have a right to be at these games. We can ban you. We can take your season tickets away. We can do all of those things. Just watch yourself if you're going to have those seats, or watch yourself if you're going to have those access. You as a fan, you just because you buy a ticket doesn't give you an access to do all those kind of things. You may think you do, but that's not necessarily true. But again, going back to the personality trait, again, as an athlete, I don't care what sport you're in. If you don't come at it with the right mindset, it can affect everything about you. I know good golfers who can't play on the tour because they don't have the ability to solely focus on golf. Like, too many things get in their brain, right? I mean, the one golfer called it leaving the stove on. It was something. It was a term that he used where he would get up to a golf shot. He would focus on, I want to hit it right to left or left to right or whatever it is he wanted to do with the golf ball. But as he would be starting a swing, he would wonder, like, did I leave the stove on at my house? Or something. It was, you know, or that was like a metaphor for something other than the golf swing. And he would hit a shot that he didn't work out so well. And he just couldn't do it. He just couldn't focus so incredibly on the shot. You heard stories about Tiger Woods' dad. That was the one thing he did. He toughened Tiger up mentally. But just because you're born with this athletic ability to do this on a high level, it doesn't mean it comes with the right mindset to just take everything out of your head. Sometimes you hear things, you react to those things. You know, Westbrook has been prone to this, but again, I will support him. If indeed this is exactly what he heard, get on your knees like you used to. I think he has every right to go after the fan. I think he has every right to point him out to security. 800-777-2907 is the number. All right, coming up next, we'll get to more NFL free agency. Jacksonville landing their quarterback, Nick Foles. How does that fit in the AFC South and in the AFC? Also look at some of the other signings or potential signings down the road for the NFL. You can hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, doing a repair that needs a special tool, O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with the Loaner Tool Program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, so O'Reilly's is sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool, then return the tool in the original condition. Receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Oh, I love how Bobby filling in for Ron Culver. I always like it when I work with Bobby because I always have to ask him a Rockets question. The Rockets are the hottest team in the NBA right now, man.
Yeah.
Nine straight wins.
Yeah, you can say that. You can say that.
You sound tentative.
I mean, because I guess I'm going back to the big lead, and then they'll lose the big lead in the second half. So, but lately, they have been playing some great basketball, I must say.
They have. 9 straight victories. Beat Charlotte last night. Big matchup with Golden State. I don't know. I just used that as a cliche. I just got lazy there, Bobby Beats. I just said big matchup. Is it really a big matchup? Big deal. So if they lose that or if they win that, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, it's considered
change the real seating.
It doesn't, but it makes it look good for the
fun.
Rockets.
It's just entertaining.
Yeah, we can go with that.
I said this yesterday. I said, listen, Golden State just lost to, like, they just lost big to Boston last week. They just lost to Phoenix, but I do believe that if Golden State needs to beat you for whatever reason, they'll beat you. If they really need to beat you. And I don't know. I want a team to knock this team down just to give me a new blood in the Western Conference. It's just hard to beat a team 4 times in 7 games. It's hard to beat that team. But it does feel like they're weaker, right? Doesn't it? It doesn't feel like Golden State is more vulnerable. And this is what happens with teams that, have a dynastic run. towards the end, they feel a little bit more vulnerable. You feel like you can get them because, you know, it kind of wears on it. You've gotten a little used to it, a little bit complacency. Team feels like a little, you know, just a little bit weaker. So, I don't know. It feels like Golden State could be attacked. I don't know by who, but we'll see. But, yeah, it is a good game on Wednesday night when they take on Golden State. They'll be hosting that one. So, the Rockets have won 9 straight games. 9 straight. So, you know, process that however you will. There's a report that C.J. Mosley is going to the New York Jets. Boy, the Jets are busy this free agency. I feel like every report yesterday and today are the Jets. Didn't the Jets just get Anthony Barr?
Yeah, they did. Right?
They just landed him. And Jameson Crowder, if I'm not mistaken. Are they still the forerunner for Le'Veon Bell, or did they part? They stopped talking with him on that. How much money could this team possibly have? Right? They just landed Anthony Barr, Jameson Crowder. They deal. Josh Bellamy is now a deal. They just get this massive deal with C.J. Mosley. And here's the deal. Mosley wanted to stay with the Ravens, of course, unless somebody offered significantly more. So the Jets said, we'll offer you significantly more. $51 million in guaranteed money for C.J. Mosley. $85 million on the deal. That's cool. Because Quan Alexander just signed with the 49ers. So Mosley's going to the Jets. I hope this works out, but what makes me go, Jets, we'll see, I guess. All right, come on, Jets. Like, you got to, you know, force this up a little bit. You know how I feel. You know, if you've listened to me a long time, you know how I feel about the AFC East. All right, you know how I feel about it. Outside of a couple of years where Mark Sanchez and the Jets were going to the AFC title game, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jets have really not been the challenge to the Patriots at any point that I really wanted them to be. They haven't really stepped up. It's been very disappointing. I'm not saying they should go out and, you know, win the division, but at least give somebody a test. Give the Patriots a test, and maybe we'll see that. Nick Foles to the Jacksonville Jaguars is probably the big one because he's a quarterback and because he's a Super Bowl MVP and because we were waiting to see what was going to happen to him when he became a free agent, where he was going to land. Everyone kind of figured, Jacksonville sounds like a good place. Because that's what you do when you have a quarterback, when you have a team that needs a quarterback. So $22 million for Nick Foles. So how does this put Jacksonville in the AFC South? Well, look, you're looking at a division where, you know, Houston, Indianapolis, and Tennessee are on the upswing. Tennessee probably a little less. Andrew Luck, with the way they played last year, with the way their offensive line was great last year, the Houston Texans making the postseason, right? I mean, this is a division that's tough. It's hard to just say Nick Foles added on to that are going to be a team that is just going to come in. It makes the division more interesting. You can almost see if things go right for Jacksonville, they could be competitive. But before you get into sort of this AFC stuff, got to go to the division first. And I don't know exactly where they fit right now until I see how other pieces are going to gel for them. The Nick Foles signing adds a piece to this division in terms of quarterback play. You know, and I've said this before, I think this division has the ability to be one of the top quarterback divisions in football, given that we love Andrew Luck, that's a given. Deshaun Watson has really shown who he is, that's a given, right? Marcus Mariota, still a question mark at times, but solid enough. You know, the Titans aren't looking for somebody else, right? I mean, the Titans aren't saying, well, Mariota hasn't worked out. No. Mariota's worked out. He needs to get a little better, but there's a potential there to improve. And now you're adding a Super Bowl MVP to that mix. A good division for quarterbacks, right? The problem is with Jacksonville is everything else has to work. Nick Foles will get you wins, but is he going to get you enough wins in a situation where you're going to need some? You know, Tennessee was a playoff team 2 years ago, right? They were a team last year that had an up and down offense. If they get that better, they have a pretty good defense. If they get the offense better, they become a team you got to deal with. So this could be one of those divisions where attrition sort of eats you up a little bit, but the teams are still solid heading into the postseason. But nevertheless, this is a fantastic addition to a Jaguars team that tried it with Blake Bortles, and I didn't blame them. This is not one of those we should have known all along. I'm not Monday morning. We're not. You shouldn't Monday morning quarterback here. Blake Bortles was a good pick coming out of college. He just didn't work out at the NFL like a lot of picks can, you know, that has happened. He just didn't play well. He just didn't have it. And so you bring in a quarterback and you shore that position up, but Leonard Fournette has got to step up. He's got to be better, especially catching passes out of the backfield. He's got to be better at that. That offensive line was not very good last year. That offensive line has got to be better. Right, so all of those things, you know, a given. Yes, Foles is an upgrade, but also that defense, if it was on the same level as 2 years ago, now you've got a really threatening football team. If you don't, if it doesn't, Foles will get you wins, right? They're not going to be sitting at 3-13 with Nick Foles at quarterback. But it's we're not talking about a team signing Nick Foles to, you know, $22 million a year just to get their sixth or seventh win of the season. This is a team that needs to get back to the playoffs and be competitive. I mean, I thought I was watching a team 2 years ago that was on the cusp of really good things down the road, despite the fact that I wasn't confident in their quarterback. But I still saw a football team that was really good defensively, ran the ball really well, a quarterback that was learning not to make big mistakes. That was part of the reason that they had so much success 2 years ago. When they beat the Steelers in that postseason game, it wasn't the Steelers threw four interceptions and was just handing the game. Jacksonville beat them. They beat them not so much defensively, but they held the Steelers when they had to hold the Steelers. And that's a high-powered offense. But what they did was they were confident enough, no matter where they were on third downs, to convert those third downs. They let Blake Bortles make a good pass. They let Leonard Fournette being able to run through the gaps. They did a lot of great things being able to control that offense and control that offensive line of scrimmage. They couldn't do that last year. They get that short up. Now we're talking about a team. But I think also, think about this for Foles. He wins the Super Bowl. He takes over again after another Carson Wentz injury. They get the road win in Chicago in the postseason, almost get a road win in New Orleans at the Superdome, if not for an interception on a tip pass. But he now lands in a spot where if that team doesn't shore things up, he disappears for a while. And I don't want Nick Foles to disappear. I don't want Nick Foles to be on a mediocre team that can't seem to put anything around him. I like his story. I want the story to continue. But again, CJ Mosley, the Broncos had targeted him too. A lot of teams targeted him. But he wanted to stay with the Ravens, but there was no money there. But the Jets now have given him a deal, a reported deal worth $85 million with $51 million guaranteed. We'll keep you up on free agency as it continues. This is a fun time. This is really good for the league. I always like this. The Steelers, without Antonio Brown and without Le'Veon Bell, now becomes Ben Roethlisberger's team. If you're looking at the Steelers and you're wondering where they go now without an offensive weapon like Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell in terms of how Ben Roethlisberger is now going to be responsible for the success and failure of this team, you really got to look into this because he doesn't have anyone to blame. He does not have anybody to blame if this does not go well. Juju Smith-Schuster is a fine wide receiver, and I think they'll be fine there. And we know what Connor James did last season. So there might be two young guys that can take the load. Is it killer B level? Well, that wait to be seen. There's some you don't really get that sort of the triangle of excellence in those three positions like the Steelers had for the last couple of years. But I worry about the continuity of this team. I worry about where, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, again, looking around and calling out Antonio Brown in public probably wasn't the wisest move he made, but he gets to do it because there is some freedom for Ben to do these kind of things. And in the past, he has done this before. This isn't something new. He has done this kind of thing before. He has implied certain players and certain teams. He's called out his offensive line at times. I mean, he's done this kind of things subtly, not exactly directly, like calling out Antonio Brown's route running, but he's done it enough. But I think people are now seeing, look, if the Steelers fail to make another playoff push or go deep or whatever it is, have a successful season, this now falls on him. He doesn't have anybody to push or prod around like he did with Antonio Brown, and even for the extent of Le'Veon Bell. Kansas City has proposed a overtime rule change. We'll get to that coming up as well. And also, again, the bubble teams as this week, conference tournaments, who to watch out for, who to be careful of in this conference tournament week. It's all coming up. It's SB Nation AM. It's SB Nation Radio. I'm Tony D. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us, SB Nation AM. You know, you get those aches and pains. Well, if you get aches and pains like I do, Blue Emu, the way to go. Man, it's great. No chill, no burn, no odor. Works fast. It's the number one selling Emu oil brand in America because it's made in America. They don't use capsaicin, which is in chili peppers, or menthol, which is the responsibility, which is responsible for that cold sensation. Use Blue Emu today. I've been lifting boxes, getting a little sore. Use Blue Emu. Again, one of the nationwide, sold nationwide, one of the best sellers on the market. Blue Emu. Again, no chill, no burn, no odor. NCAA Tournament Week, Conference Tournament Week. In Nashville, where I live, the SEC Tournament is going on. I was telling you yesterday, LSU comes to town amid controversy. Their head coach has been suspended, caught on wiretap. Why do I say wiretape? I said that yesterday in a casual conversation. It's wiretap. I don't know why I make that mistake. I don't know why. Will Wade has been suspended. Javonte Smart not playing. My God. Aren't you more careful when you talk on the phone these days when you're into that kind of thing? Don't you have code words? Like the mafia, when the mafia wanted to talk about things, they had code words. When you're a head coach of a college basketball team and you want to talk about an offer to a recruit, you don't say offer, right? You don't say strong offer. You don't talk on the phone about this kind of stuff as if you are talking to somebody in a closet. Don't do it. It's awful. Don't do it. So anyway, LSU is coming to town, some controversy. Kentucky is a 2 seed. Tennessee is a 3 seed. South Carolina is a 4 seed. South Carolina is a bubble team because they had some bad losses this year. South Carolina was interesting because they had a terrible non-conference schedule this year. But in the SEC, they did really, really well. They had some really good, impressive wins this year. But they're going to sweat this out on Sunday unless they make a nice run in the NCAA tournament. Same with the Florida Gators. They're going to sweat this out too. Alabama's going to sweat out either. The SEC would love to get, you know, a team like Alabama in, a team like Florida in. But they might be just four teams. Might be four teams deep. We'll see on Selection Sunday. ACC tournament, Virginia number one. Zion Williamson, the question going into the ACC tournament, whether or not he'll play. If he plays, there's a factor there. If he doesn't play, it's wide open. If he plays, Duke wins. If he doesn't play, who knows? Probably Virginia. So Virginia, I was talking to a friend of mine about this, that I love Virginia. I like Tony Bennett a lot. I like the Cavaliers. I don't like watching them. It's hard to watch Virginia basketball because, listen, there are some people who watch the NFL, for example, and they just like it when it's 34-31. That's just the way they like it. They don't like 10-7. They don't like 9-6, right? They like 34-31. And there's some people who like watching basketball, and they like to see 85-80. They just like to see offense. You watch Virginia basketball, their defense is so good, and it's so hard to score. It's slow a bit. It's frustrating. They do that the way they clamp down on you so well defensively. It's not the most entertaining brand of basketball for a lot of people, but if you understand the game, you really, really can appreciate it. The fact is, and I was telling a friend of mine this the other day, I can't think of Virginia now without thinking of losing last year to UMBC. Like, I can't, it's funny. All year, as good as the Cavaliers have been playing, I can't get out of my head that they became the first 1 seed to lose to a 16. I always thought that was going to happen in my lifetime. Always. We do this. There's always this bit that people do on radio. Like, what's the sports thing you think you know you'll never see? Right. And some people say, I don't think I'll ever see another 400 hitter in Major League Baseball. I don't think I'll ever see anybody hit 60 home runs, you know, in Major League Baseball again, you know, that kind of thing. Like there are things in sports that you don't think you'll ever see. And I always said, there are things in sports I don't think I'll ever see. I don't think one of them is a 16 over a 1. I think I will see that in my lifetime. couple of years we get close, right? We get like you're watching and they let you know that there's a 16 seed and they're within 4 points or they have a lead with 5 minutes to go and you get like, oh boy, this is going to be it. This is going to be the moment. And then it's not. And I'm always bummed because as much as I did college basketball, I didn't watch that at all last year. I was living in New Jersey and I had some cousins in town that weekend and we went out that night and then we got back and the game was on and whatnot. And then we found out that UMBC had beaten Virginia. And I was like, man, I can't believe I missed it. Even if I just watched the last 2 minutes of that game, I wanted to at least see that as part of history. But, you know, look, you can go through a lot of the bubble teams that are going to be you know, wondering where they are this weekend. One of them is Texas in the Big 12. A couple of bad losses for the Longhorns this season. I hope Texas gets in. But you look at a conference like the SoCon. And the SoCon had Wofford, a top 25 team. They won the conference tournament. They punched their ticket already in. But they beat UNC Greensboro. It's a good team. They have 27 wins on the season. UNC Greensboro at least entered in the tournament with 27 wins on the season. That's a very good Spartans team. But Furman was also in the SoCon. Furman was a top 25 team at the beginning of the season. And they went into the SoCon tournament with 25 wins on the year. So, look, an at-large bid could be coming for one or both of those teams. I probably won out of the SoCon. That's got to make teams like an Indiana that's got some really good non-conference victories a little nervous. Make a Florida a little nervous. Make a South Carolina or a Texas a little bit nervous. Maybe St. John's as well. The more you get into these sort of mid-majors, the more there's some quality teams that the committee cannot overlook that are not winning their conference tournament, the tougher it is for teams that have to make a big showing at their own conference tournament. But this is what I like about college basketball. This is the one thing I like about the way they do this. Look, ebb and flows occur in sports like this when you've got so many games. College football prides itself on having the best regular season in all of sports. These games really matter. You dilute the playoff, you take away one of the strongest aspects of college football, and that there is a sense of urgency all the time. There is no sense of urgency in college basketball because any sins that you commit during the regular season, you can make up for in a conference tournament. You can find yourself gelling at the right time rather than the wrong time. Lose some non-conference games, eat up your conference schedule. Struggle in the conference schedule, win the conference tournament. There are ways to improve yourself at almost every step. Schedule a tough non-conference schedule, great. Win some games and win convincingly. Look, Indiana is getting some good run because they had back-to-back wins against Wisconsin and Michigan State. That is hard to overlook. They had a road win just recently against Illinois. Those are hard games to overlook if you're the committee, despite the fact that their record may not be outstanding. But when you're filling out these teams, when you're filling out so many teams into so many brackets, there's plenty of opportunities for teams to sort of find themselves and find themselves at the right time. You keep getting chances to show off a little bit. If you have a really good regular season, if you have a really good conference record, and you lose in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, the conference tournament, that's just going to affect seeding. You're still going to get in. You know, look, South Carolina, just because it's my school and I follow them a little bit more closely, they entered the SEC tournament as a 4 seed. They won't play until, I think, Thursday. Maybe Friday, actually. But they need a win. They need at least a strong win to just bump themselves up a little bit. Alabama needs to make a run. Florida needs to win maybe 2 games. The problem is that their next game is against LSU. They might be catching the Tigers at the right time in terms of what LSU is going through in terms of chaos. But the reality is there is a second chance to make up for mistakes during the regular season that college football doesn't give you. The one thing college football gives you is a chance that what is the thing we always say about college football? If you're going to lose early. Don't lose late. You lose late, it's a bigger mark on your resume than if you lose early. At least if you lose early, you can impress down the road. But if you lose late, it's almost a detriment. It's silly because the reality is whether you're 11-1 because you lost in September or 11-1 because you lost in November shouldn't make a difference, but it does. And the committee always used to, the playoff committee always used to say, oh, no, we don't look at trends. Just because you're one this week, we could change it. But the reality is we're all human. You know, the last thing we saw is the most important thing we saw in some cases, and that's what happens. But in college, college basketball doesn't necessarily work that way. College basketball, you can have a great regular season and stink in your conference tournament. The last image is you falling apart early in your conference tournament. Still, that regular season record is going to count a lot. You can be terrible in your regular, in the non-conference schedule, but what you do in the conference schedule can make up for it. There's plenty of opportunities. But if you're a bubble team now, watch those mid-majors. Watch how, what's the conversation about the SoCon leading into Selection Sunday? Is UNC Greensboro worthy of a spot? Is Furman worthy of a spot? If both of them worthy of a spot? Because if both get in, then you're going to sweat that out a little bit, right? The OVC. Take a look at the OVC. Belmont is a team that you got to watch out for. They lost to Murray State. Murray State's got one of the best players in the country, and John Mormont. But the reality is, if you're Belmont, you're good enough to make this tournament. You have a good enough resume to make this tournament. If you get in, that's going to cause some sweat for a team maybe like Clemson, right? I mean, just that's what you got to be watching out for. But you'll see a sense of urgency this week. That's one of the reasons I like this. That's why I am okay with the conference, with the NCAA berth tied into this conference tournament. I like the urgency. I like that you're going to see an uptick in play. You know what? Some of these teams have to win in order to get in, and it brings a little something to the table rather than just a trophy at the end for pride. But boy, that ACC tournament, as good as the ACC tournament is, regardless because of the pedigree of teams that are in, Zion Williamson will make that must watch. I mean, I hope he plays. It's likely that he's going to. But man, he adds a wrinkle to that ACC tournament. That's going to be great. 800-777-2907. It is Tony D, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Do you know what happened on this date in 1985, Bobby Beats? This is a little before your time, so I know.
Yeah, it was before my time.
It was before your time, but you know. It's okay. You can know a little. You can know. I'll give you a little sports history.
Okay.
Something
I'm cool
with it. I think something you should know. On this date in 1985, Larry Bird scored 60 points for the Boston Celtics. Now, this, if you go to YouTube, which is why I love YouTube, the ability to just go back and remember things and to sort of experience video of the moment at your fingertips. Go to YouTube, Google Larry Bird's 60-point game. You don't even have to put in Atlanta Hawks. YouTube already knows what you want. You don't have to worry. It knows what you're looking for. Larry Bird is scoring points in such a rapid pace that just watch the Atlanta Hawks bench while he's scoring. They're just flipping out. It's like they're watching it and enjoying the entertaining part of the show. It's like they gave up on the game and just sat and enjoyed Larry Bird pouring in bucket after bucket after bucket against them in this game in March of 1985. It's one of the funniest things in terms of the NBA. Just the guys on the bench of the Atlanta Hawks. Bird just shoots hits shots. He's just ball just knocking in the hoop. And the guys are on the floor. They're falling off their chair. The Atlanta Hawk players are crazy. This is a big. It was a big performance. It broke the Celtic record of 56 that had been set by Kevin McHale. But on this date in 1985, that was a good 34 years ago. My God!
Wow, time is flying. Time is flying.
God, I hate that aspect of growing old. As I get older. I said this yesterday. I feel like my time gets compressed. They say this as you get older, for whatever reason. Time is all relative, right? Remember when you were a kid and it was like 6 weeks till Christmas or 6 weeks till vacation or whenever school is out, and it felt like an eternity, like you were never going to get out of school or was never going to approach the holiday or whatever it is that you were looking forward to.
Oh yeah.
Right. When you're a kid, but when you're an adult, as you get older, you feel like the moment you put the Christmas decorations away, you're getting them right back out again. And you're like, wow, where did this year go, right?
Yeah.
And they say as you get even older, like in your 70s and 80s, time really, really goes by fast. So you just have this perception of time just shrinking. like science, fun scientists have done that thing. Like if you had real superpowers, what it would actually be like to live in the world. And one of the superpowers of immortality, they say the problem with having immortality is time would be so compressed for you that, you know, years would seem like minutes and centuries would seem like, you know, days. You would just be cooking right through time because your perception of it would change so much. And to me, I feel like that's occurring a little bit. Like I have to stop and think sometimes how long ago something was, right? Whereas before I could tell you, oh, that happened 3 years ago. Now, like I'll say something like, oh yeah, when they won that championship 5 years ago, and I'll get reminded that that was maybe five, you know, 2 years ago, a year, you know, like 3 years ago. So it's starting to affect me a little bit. 34 years ago is a long time. 34 years is a long time. But on this day, Larry Bird again. It was 125 to 115 against Atlanta, and Larry Bird scored 60 points. Wasn't as impressive as Michael Jordan's 63, because I remember watching that one. I didn't watch this one, even though I grew up in New England and watched a lot of Celtics games as a kid. But the game was played in New Orleans. I don't know why a mid-regular season game was played in New Orleans for the Atlanta Hawks. Maybe they were doing that thing where they were trying to expand their marketing. But it was played in New Orleans. But the Jordan 63 game against the Celtics in the playoffs, that was probably the most impressive 60-plus performance I've seen in the NBA. All right, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. I am Tony D. Ron Culver out a little on vacation today. Bobby Beats filling in. Your tweets, welcome at Tony D. Radio. You can also hit us up at 800-777-2907 as we roll along on SB Nation AM.